Without water, you can't grow fruit and vegetables. That's the message coming from farmers in Queensland's key salad bowl region and the second biggest apple growing region in the country, which is where I'll take you today. Firstly, though, to the Granite Belt, which produces around $300 million worth of fruit and vegetables each year. The area has been drought declared since May 2018, and many farmers say it's been an unprecedented drought, which is why water has become more important than ever. Let me take you to Nathan Baronio's farm near Applethorpe. He can explain why investment in water infrastructure is key to the viability of the whole region.
Yeah, so we've got 1.7 million strawberry plants, a combination of them grown outside, and then 50% of them are grown under polycarbonate tunnels. And then in those tunnels, about 50% of those are grown in a substrate production.
Yeah, okay. So you've got your strawberries. You also have apples here, don't you?
Yeah, we've got about 100 acres of apples as well, just to stop us from going on holidays.
Tell me, in your mind, how important is water to what you do?
It's the most important input that we have. The Stanthorpe district is, you know, it needs a reliable water scheme. It's a huge agricultural, horticultural region in Queensland, and you know, we're every year wondering if we're going to have enough water to get our crops through.
I guess the big project that's on the table for this region is, of course, Emu Swamp Dam. In terms of, you know, commitments from state governments, I know the LNP has said that it will construct Emu Swamp Dam, and there's been similar, you know, commitments from the Labor Party. Certainly the Queensland Natural Resources Minister, Anthony Lynham, has said that he supports it and commits to it. But how important is Emu Swamp Dam to the future of this region and a farm like yours?
It's the most important infrastructure project in our region, without a doubt. We saw the crippling effects of drought in the Granite Belt last year. Estimates are that 50% of the production was dropped. So that's 50% of jobs gone. That's 50% of retail in town gone. It's 50% of backpacker hostels and farms and annual revenue gone from the district. So if the district is a $300 million industry, you're talking about drought pulling away $150 million from a regional area. So I think that it's only smart that we get a really reliable irrigation scheme for this region to make sure that that never happens again.
Is Emu Swamp Dam that?
Yes. Yes, completely. It's got 3 years guaranteed supply of water. So that means, you know, if we're in the worst drought in 120 years like we had last year, we've still got that water there to be able to plant and keep our markets open and keep our customers happy and keep our workers in jobs. Like, there's going to be a huge task ahead of a lot of farms this year to retrain and re-skill all of their staff, because they've had to let a lot of people go and a lot of people have left the district.
And I imagine having water security, it means that you're not worrying about, you know, what you can grow this year, but it might mean that you're actually able to invest, expand, have confidence.
Yeah, look, I think it's more so ensuring that you have enough water every year for what you do. It's not about as much expansion for us. It's about making sure that you've got that most valuable water, which is the water to bring your crop home. You know, the worst thing that could happen is if you're 80% there towards production, you've spent all the time, all the effort, all the hours into getting the crop to where it is, and then having to turn the taps off and walk away, that's the worst possible thing. So, you know, this means that those decisions won't have to be made anymore.
Having the two major parties in Queensland say that they support the dam, you know, they're committed to it, is that enough of a commitment in your eyes?
Look, both sides of politics have been very supportive of the project, and we thank them both for their support. We would not be able to get this project done without both federal and state support. We look forward to their continued support until that ribbon's cut and the irrigation pipes are turned on and everyone starts to see that water come through.
I'm standing in the paddock with apple and strawberry grower Nathan Baronio, who is also a part of the Granite Belt Growers Group. Nathan, when it comes to water, while Emu Swamp Dam is, you know, it's a longer term project, it's something that, as you say, is critically important for the region, but it is a long term thing. It will take multi-levels of government and years before we see water pumping to farms. So are there some other commitments that you would like to see, you know, in terms of securing water for this region that are a bit more immediate?
Yeah, look, one of the things that really needs to be looked at is a subsidy or a rebate for trucking water. There's a lot of people who have spent considerable amounts of money in the last 2 years just to keep their trees alive. So if your apple tree dies, it takes 6 years for you to be able to get that tree back to production. And that's if you can buy trees. A lot of the nurseries have sold out all their root stocks. So, you know, Stanthorpe is the second largest apple growing region in Australia. So if this region loses a considerable amount of apple trees, there is going to be a lot less apples for sale in Australia. So it's really important we keep them alive. And not just apples, you know, there's stone fruit and lots of other tree crops in this region. So it's in the interest of everyone to make sure that those trees don't die. Our Growers Association has also looked towards new technologies that will help farms become drought-proof into the future. The main one is evaporation covers. So in the Granite Belt, it's 1.5 metres per year of evaporation out of your dam. So that is a considerable amount of water, especially when you think if you go into the season with a full dam, that evaporation that you lose from the top, that's the largest area of water that you have, because the way that the dams are designed, they go down into a narrower peak down the bottom. So if we can essentially stop that evaporation happening in, let's say, 25% of our dams in the district, that will have a huge amount of water saving for the region. And what that will mean is less reliability on our overland creeks and overland flow, more effective water use, and hopefully something like that would see growth of the industry to make the industry not 300 million, let's make it 400 million.
Is there a specific commitment you'd like to see, you know, the major parties or all political parties in Queensland make on this front during the election?
Yeah, we'd like to see a $10 million co-investment in evaporation control specific to our industry. You know, we've got to mitigate the effects of drought in this district, and evaporation control is a technology that will do that. If it was up to me, every single dam, every farm would have an evaporation cover, and that would be their high security water to make sure that they can bring their crops home.
You talked about some of the rates. Just, you know, we're looking at your dam here. Give me some context about how significant evaporation loss is, say, for you.
Well, this dam here, we would lose 20 megalitres per year in evaporation, and 20 megalitres is sufficient to bring 3 hectares of strawberries through to production. So 3 hectares of strawberries is about 450,000 punnets.
And that's just your farm, just one dam, one farm, let alone, you know, what that does across the region. Now, one of the other issues that you mentioned to me was around inclusion for horticulture into the Emergency Water Infrastructure Rebate Scheme. That did happen, but it was only for permanent plantings. And then, as we know, earlier this year, the funds for that ran out. So, you know, horticulture basically didn't really have an opportunity to be included in that. How important is that to you? Like, would you like to see it as an election issue?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you get really upset talking to a lot of people who in horticulture, when they finally got the green light to be part of the scheme, did the works and then found out there was no more money. So I think it's really important that horticulture is included, and that it's not just permanent tree crops, it should be all of horticulture.
This is another crossover, because I think it was the federal funding that ran out, but it's the state government that actually could include horticulture and could extend it to be horticulture more broadly. You mentioned there you would like to see it beyond permanent plantings.
Yeah, definitely. Just because somebody only plants their crops once a year doesn't mean that that person might not run out of water in January and have a paddock full of tomatoes that are just about ready to be picked, and they can't bring that crop home. It is going to have the same financial costs than anyone else in the industry.
So far, there's been very little about water security, water infrastructure in terms of election coverage. I mean, we've heard the LNP say that they will undertake a review of all water assets in the state. You know, really, that's all we've heard at this stage. Is it something that you think needs to be on the mind of the next Queensland government?
Yeah, look, I think water security is one of the biggest election issues for our industry in this upcoming election, not just in our region, but every region in Queensland. You cannot grow fruit and vegetables without water. You can't grow anything without water. And we've seen this same message all the way up to Bundaberg and Bowen and all the way out west to St. George. Water infrastructure is vitally important to our industry, and we can continue to produce really, really good stuff if we've got reliable water. If we don't have reliable water, then we start to see crops go bad, crops go be thrown out and not meet specifications. But with more water, we can ensure a higher quality product, a consistent product, better prices, because if the crop's not there, the price goes up and then people pay for it in their shopping basket. So I would say please keep water security, water infrastructure top of mind for our industry and help build the horticultural industry in Queensland into the future. We've got all this land. All we need is good, reliable water.
Nathan Baronio, a strawberry and apple grower near Applethorpe on the Granite Belt. And it's important to note that at the last election, One Nation actually had the second highest number of votes in the Southern Downs electorate. And even though it was just under half of the votes the LNP received, I think it's interesting to note. And when it comes to water policy, One Nation actually says we must build more dams and create water security across Australia. That's its policy when it comes to improving water infrastructure. Right now, though, I want to take you north to the Lockyer Valley, which is aptly named Queensland's Salad Bowl region. It's an area that's also been under great pressure from drought over the last few years. And a lack of reliable water in the region and bores that are starting to run dry as a result of increased pressure has meant that farmers have had to reduce how much area they planted. Or, in some cases, we've even seen farmers that are locked into valuable supply contracts chase water. So they've actually gone and leased different properties all over the valley just to grow the same amount of produce that they would in a normal year on their home property. And that's why farmers there say that water security is the key thing they would like to see the next state government commit to and invest in. In fact, Anthony Starts from Koala Farms says if a political party committed to improving water infrastructure and invested in long-term water security, it would change his vote.
Here in the Lockyer Valley, water security is everything. It's our limiting factor in what we do. So the more water that we have, the more we're able to produce, which adds a lot of business efficiency and enables you to take advantage of markets and supply customers more consistently.
Run us through your business. What do you grow here?
We do a lot of twin pack cos, coals mostly, iceberg lettuce, broccoli. We're doing quite a bit of the baby leaf stuff, so your spinach and your rocket, supplied to processors that bag it. You'll see it in the chain stores as well.
I imagine you can't grow it without water.
No, water's, she's not a dry land crop. We water every day, basically, so it's the biggest part of our production work role is irrigation and irrigation management.
And is water an issue that keeps you up at night? Like, is it always on your mind?
Well, it does when it gets dry. Typically here on our property at home, we've got pretty good water security. If the creek runs and the underground's full, we usually have about 4 years of supply. So starting to get a bit critical now again, so if we don't get any summer rains, might lose a few minutes sleep, maybe. See how we go.
At least you can say it with a smile on your face at the moment. I guess that's always the thing, isn't it? We tend to talk about the importance of water in dry years, but is it still something that you see is of importance even when you do have a full profile?
Yeah, absolutely. Like water security enables us consistency of supply. And if we're going to compete in the international markets, we need to be able to ensure that we can supply all the time. The Lockyer Valley is perfectly placed to take advantage of Asian markets just due to our counter-seasonal opportunities to grow vegetables in winter when it's their summer. So we're highly in demand in Asia, but our Achilles heel is our inconsistency of supply. So reliability on water will add an awful lot of value, particularly to the export space in the Lockyer Valley.
One of the big projects on the cards in terms of securing water for the Lockyer Valley at the moment is the potential construction of a pipeline from Wivenhoe to the Lockyer Valley. Tell me, what are your thoughts on that project?
Oh, look, it'd be awesome. We're a big advocate for trying to get the pipeline into the Lockyer Valley. Potentially, it could put another 50,000 megalitres per year into the Lockyer Valley, which is probably about a third of the total use currently. So it'll move the dial. The big part of it will be the reliability of the scheme. And if people use that amount of water, clearly our natural resources will last a lot longer in the valley as well. So it'll add a lot of value right across the community. So the reliability on the pipeline itself, I mean, it will vary dependent upon the yield out of Wivenhoe, but the projections are, I don't know them exactly, but it's somewhere in the 90s to start with, 90%, and say in 10 years' time it gets down to 75% before they start to look for another water source or whatnot. But the point to remember in the Lockyer Valley is that it's not your only water source. People also have pretty reliable underground water systems, and the pipeline will only go to enhance the reliability of your underground water. If I use 1,000 megalitres of water at the moment, I'm pumping all of that out of the underground water. If the pipeline comes and I get 500 megalitres, well, that underground water typically will last twice as long, right? So it should mean that where our water security goes up, you know, three or fourfold than what it currently is.
Clearly it's a project that you'd like to see get up. Is it a project that you'd like to see, you know, all political parties commit to in this election?
Oh, that'd be awesome. I don't know whether it will happen, but if it was an election issue, which it should be, like water infrastructure has been neglected for many years. We're in a similar scenario to what the electricity grid was. It's just been neglected, and eventually the community will pay the price with higher priced food, because we are genuinely having to move a long way to try and find water, which adds a lot of cost of production. So, look, from our point of view, it's a no-brainer, but it really should be a hot election issue.
That pipeline in particular is dependent on the wastewater treatment plant, you know, near Wivenhoe to be restarted. So I'm presuming then you need a commitment on that first. Do you have any concern around that? Because, you know, any time you talk about recycled water, it tends to be quite contentious regardless of what the science says.
Yeah, well, politically it hasn't been a great thing. It's very disappointing that our community doesn't understand the value of that water and the waste of that resource. It tends to get to a pretty basic sort of dialogue around drinking recycled water. It happens all around the world. We're not the first to do it. The risks are very, very low, and it's for the value it can add into the community, it's a travesty, really, that it's just flowing out into the Brisbane River.
Would you have any concern around using it on vegetable crops for humans?
No, the water quality that it's treated to is it would be way better than the water quality that we're using at the moment.
The LNP said earlier this year that they won't make, you know, the residents of Brisbane drink recycled water. Do you think that jeopardises, you know, an opportunity, say, for a grower like you in the valley?
Well, that was quite contentious when that was brought up. What we've been told is that there's more opportunities to increase, say, Wivenhoe's capacity where you wouldn't need to start the recycle plant. That would be our preferred option, would be to get more water storage in the area. But personally, I don't see an issue with it. Certainly, the younger generation has got a much greater focus on the environment and better resource management. So, you know, hopefully public sentiment changes and everyone gets a little more educated around the reality of what value recycled water can offer.
If restarting the recycled plant meant that you had guaranteed water supply, though, I imagine you'd jump up and down for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, water security is everything. So provided the cost was achievable, you know, for people to use, I'm very sure that it would get well accepted in the valley.
And can I ask, in terms of water, is it a big enough issue for you that, you know, if there were the commitments made that you'd like to see, that it would change your vote?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's fundamental. I think you'll find there's a lot of very traditional voters, particularly in the Lockyer Valley, that this issue about getting piped water into the Lockyer Valley has been going for well over 30 years. So a commitment would go a long way to swinging a lot of people, that's for sure.
Why do you think now is the time for that commitment to be made?
Well, we're very united as a group. So we've got all the councils on board, all of the... there's been an awful lot of groundwork done in regard to all the government departments to understand whether or not the scheme is viable. We've jumped through a lot of hoops. A lot of work's been done. We really just need to get some excavators in the ground and get some pipe in the ground and get it happening.
What about in terms of, you know, obviously water security means that you're guaranteed a crop every year,
yeah.
But what's the flow on of that in terms of, you know, the number of people that you employ?
Yeah, it's a good point. Like, it's not just about water security, it's about job security. Very important for people, particularly in volatile industries. Like, if we employ 200 people, if we run out of water next year, we got 20. So not only does it make my customers sleep a lot better if they know they're going to get food, it makes my employees a lot more secure to go out and spend money, and, you know, just that reliability of employment is critically important for people.
Unfortunately, you know, water hasn't featured much, but there's been a lot of talk about economic recovery during, you know, the election because of COVID. Do you see that what you're saying, that improvements in water infrastructure and water security actually help economic recovery?
Well, it will here. There's an awful lot of underutilised land just due to not being able to irrigate. The markets are there, particularly a lot of export markets that we haven't been able to tap into because of reliability. Yeah, put on the water and we'll turn on the jobs, that's for sure.
Anthony Starts, a vegetable grower from the Lockyer Valley. And just on that proposal to build a pipeline from Wivenhoe Dam to the Lockyer Valley, a business case is currently being prepared on that and is expected to be delivered to political parties early next month. And that will include full costings and more details about how much demand there is from growers. So we will keep a close eye on that one. But there you have it. I think it's safe to say that fruit and vegetable farmers in southern Queensland will be putting their vote to the party that commits to long-term water infrastructure this election.